If yesterday's announcement was a lesson of anything, it was a lesson in how you can see whatever you want to see. Never before, with the numbers we have we dropped a level the way we did. So did politics beat health? Auckland University Medical Professor Des Gorman back with us. Des, good morning.
Well, good day, Mike.
It was politics, wasn't it?
Oh, completely. Obviously, the government's decided that public opinion is shifting and it needed to get in front of it. To be seen to be leading that opinion rather than being driven by that opinion.
So is this now a health thing or is this now a political thing?
Well, my view, Mike, is it's been politicised from the get-go and that health has had some input, but that ultimately the decisions have been political and that's been true around the world. So I think what's happening now is that it's becoming more stark, the difference between attending to what's a popular issue versus what's the best health issue.
What is the best health issue with the numbers that we have seen up to this point?
Well, it really depends on your tolerance, Mike. I think what we're seeing is a shift from a zero tolerance for cases to a shift to a zero tolerance for deaths, and I think that's going to shift even further still. If we use the example of influenza, Mike, we found out last year that it's possible to almost abolish influenza deaths. So the question for you to ask me is, well, why haven't we done that in the past? The answer is we have a certain tolerance for people dying of influenza. That's true of health across the board.
What's happened there? Can you explain this to us? Because this is the thing that's fascinated me the most. We have become so obsessed with people dying of COVID, and yet we're prepared to seemingly happily watch other people die of other stuff that isn't treated. Why is that? How has that come to pass?
Oh, look, it tends to the fact that as humans, we are quite irrational. And we were terrified last year about tens of thousands of deaths. And we haven't got past that absolute fear. And in fact, the whole way the pandemic's been managed has been to exaggerate that fear. And you're absolutely right. We have a morbid fear, a mortal fear of dying of COVID. And yet we allow delayed cancer care, delayed surgery. Yeah. We allow mental health to deteriorate. And as I mentioned with influenza, what we showed ourselves last year, that if we actually bothered trying, we could almost abolish influenza deaths, but we tolerate about 500 a year. So our health system is based on affordable rationing, Mike. It's based on what we decide we can afford, and outside those boundaries, if you can't afford it, you don't get it. Yeah. Like cancer drugs, if you can't afford certain cancer drugs, you don't get them. So our attitude to COVID is completely out of whack in terms of how we approach any other health condition.
Level 3, they were still talking about the ability of elimination in Level 3. If they couldn't do it in 4, they can't do it in 3, can they?
No. Look, another week of Level 4 would have made no difference. The last few weeks probably have made no real difference, and we're blaming it on misbehaving people in South Auckland. Let's be frank. What we've got is a very infectious variant, and we've got profoundly inadequate public health measures like contact tracing and testing. I mean, Mike, for goodness sake, we've based our contact tracing on the two most fallible human qualities I can think of, honesty and memory.
Is there a vax number? Do you have a vax number in your mind that we need to get to that you'd feel comfortable to sort of getting on with life?
Oh, look, I mean, clearly you'd want something north of 80%. But what's going to happen, Mike, is that before we get to 80 or 90%, the public mood is going to change and there'll be clearly no appetite for hard lockdowns anymore. Something we'll see what they did in the UK, where Boris suddenly realised he had lost control of the population. And so he moved to Freedom Day earlier than he wanted to.
Would you regard, I don't know how much you're following Britain, would you, given all they went through at the very beginning, obviously they cocked it up dreadfully, but given where they are now, would you regard Britain as a success of sorts?
Oh, look, I think given where they were, absolutely. I mean, you know how bad things were there and how they were staring down both the barrel of both economic and health catastrophes. So I think from where they were, they've done extremely well.
Yeah. All right, Des, always good to have you on the program. Appreciate it very much. Des Gorman, Auckland University Medical Professor.